Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We're so grateful to you for all that you have done. And as we come to your word now, Lord, again, touch our hearts and, Lord, your spirit meet with ours and just help us to just learn, Lord, how you would have us to live the Christian life you've called us to. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give to us each and every day. And may we ever be mindful of the wonderful and great God that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a simple passage of scripture, but it's a mighty passage of scripture, this one. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. It's talking about a living hope. You know, people place their hope in many things. You know, many people place their hope in their own ability to accomplish their present or their future standing or their position in life. You know, they work hard, they set goals, they have plans, they take a certain course of direction for their lives, and they're motivated by, whether they know it or not, they're motivated by hope. Now, a desire for some good to come out of what they do, and that's hope is an expectation or a belief that what they've started and are doing is all obtainable. You know, in other words, there's a saying in the world, there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I've never found one, but anyway, that's what they say. They're hopeful. They're hopeful. They're expecting to get what they want or that they set out to accomplish. And then there are those, they seem to have no hope at all. In fact, they face life circumstances in the position or with the attitude that it's hopeless. There's nothing. And that is that they see no grounds for having hope. In other words, they're desperate. There's no future to look forward to. They're disheartened, and because of that, they lose courage to press on, and they become cast down and depressed and dejected. And that's true for both those who are lost and saved. You know, for those who know Christ as their personal Savior and those who don't, people can struggle with hope. And that struggle comes because the future is looked at from a human perspective. And by that I mean in what we or as a person can accomplish in or by themselves. But the salvation that God offers to us is a hope that's beyond what any man could ever accomplish. You know, there are no sure things in this world outside of the security a person has in the salvation that God has brought into this world. There's nothing sure. The only thing that is sure is if that you are saved, you will go on to glory. Now, salvation security is hope, but it's not a maybe. It isn't a wishful hope because it's not based on worldly circumstances. You see, it's not based on man's ability. It's not based on self-reliance or self-direction. A Christian hope isn't about what we can do. It's about what Christ has already done. And the hope a Christian has is about what God has accomplished through his Son. So our hope goes way beyond what we can imagine because it is security in Christ. That's where it is. That's where our hope is founded. And that's why that's a living hope. And our text calls it a lively hope. And we can place all our faith in what he has done. And just four things we'll look at, and that is hope comes with help, hope comes with order, hope is personal, and hope, brothers and sisters, is eternal. Verse 3, we read there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, what this world desperately needs, what this world needs was and is hope. That's all it ever has been. Something to trust in, something to expect. And God has provided that. And that gospel is for anyone who wants to come and accept it. God has provided that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hope we need always comes with help. We have God's there, tells us his abundant mercy. That's the grounds of our hope, is his abundant mercy. We are sinners and we are miserable indeed if God did not forgive us and reconcile us back to himself through his Son. And we read there that in Psalm 86:15, "But thou art, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You know, what an abundant God we have. His mercy never runs out. He shows his mercy to everyone who confesses and forsakes their sin. Look at Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, he has given us all the help we need to follow and live in his hope. You know, 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." You know, if we're a believer and we think it's hard work and God has given us a tough time because of his commands, we need to rethink where we're coming from. Because not one thing he asks us to do should be a problem for us. Because why? Everything's for our good and his glory. There's nothing grievous about what God asks us to do, and that's what we can place our hope in. He's not asking us to do something we can't do. If he's asking us to do something, we've got our hope placed in that, then he is going to give us the ability to be able to accomplish that. And that's what we have hope in. See, the directions we have from God and his word are there to help us lay hold of this hope. All the hope you need is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his mercy, his compassion, who's glad that God's a God of patience? Amen. His forgiveness, he has begotten us. In other words, he's regenerated us. And that comes from a word that the Greek is anna. It's a reversal. He's begotten us again. See, we were heading towards a hopeless future without Christ. A future that was nothing but darkness, that would have ended up with weeping and gnashing of teeth. But God has begotten us again. In other words, he's changed the direction which we were heading in, and he just didn't turn a little to the left or a little to the right. He reversed us. See, we've been completely turned from where we were heading. See, without him, we were destined to spend eternity in hell. But now we've gone from having no hope at all, a dead hope, unto, it tells us there, a lively hope. That is a hope that's a living hope, a hope that has life, a hope that's real, a hope that breathes, a hope it has vitality. This is the hope we have, and our help is in a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. See, he is alive and he lives within every believer, and he is our help. That's the hope we have. It's real and it's vital, gives us vitality in life. You know, when we look at our hope, we go, man, look, this is the hope we have. But for many, I hope so. I hope God's going to come through. That's not the hope we've been given. See, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter what situation we come across, whatever battles we face, whatever hardships we go through, all the trials that are allowed to come into our lives, our help will always come from the Lord. All our hopes can be placed in him. You can bank everything on him coming through. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, we do not serve a dead God. Our God's not a statue. It's not a piece of wood. It's not some carved thing. We serve a living God. A Lord who was resurrected from the dead. And he wants us to know that. And more abundantly, he wants us to understand and live it. That we live a life with a living Savior who's given us a living hope. He's given us the power to live the Christian life. He wants us to come to that place that our hope comes with help as we live with pure and simple faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's the sort of faith he rewards. It's simple faith. Some people think, oh, we've got to be doing this to have faith. We've got to be doing that to have faith. If I had more faith, I'd be able to do this. No, it's just faith in Christ. Simple believing that Christ is enough for your life and you bank your hopes on him taking care of you. That's hope. You look at the early church. The glory of the early church was that men and women proclaimed the gospel with power, and they certified that with holy lives. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaking, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." You know what strikes us most about the early church? Isn't so much its success, but the success they had came from hardly any resources at all. It was all God at work for them. Listen, they had to meet in secret. They met in homes. They didn't have the money that people have today. They didn't have the buildings that are built today like we do. They didn't have the equipment that we had. Look, this has got no wires. Took me half an hour to work out how to start the thing. They never had any of this. It had to fight against fierce opposition and hatred, yet it had the power to turn the world on its head. The worse things got, the stronger they became, the more hopeless it seemed, the more hope that they had. Why? Because there was a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power was the impact of the resurrection of the Lord. The victory they understood was already won, and the early believers claimed it as their own in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they grew in that hope, they became stronger. See, what started out in secret in the back rooms led to the growth of the church that Christ gave his life for. It's not to be hopeless. It was to have a living hope. And that's what he wants us to understand for today. Has anyone ever heard of Kraft cheese? Mr. Kraft. Okay. When he was a young lad or starting out in his own business, He was a Christian, born again, good Christian. He started making cheese in the back shed of his house. And he used to put it on a little cart, and he had a small pony, and he would go through the streets of Chicago, summer and winter, and you know how cold it can get there, selling his cheese. And he had hope that God would take care of him. He put his hope in the truth that God would meet his needs. And it became one of the biggest companies in the world. And God blessed what he was doing because he used his business. I don't know about today, but when Mr. Kraft was running that business, he used that business for the glory of God. He provided money for churches to be built, missionaries to be sent. He wasted nothing. He did everything he had, based on the hope in God, and he did it for the glory of God. And God never let him down. And just like the early believers who shook the world without much material wealth, they shook it with their hope in the power of a resurrected Lord. And guess what? We have the same Lord. What are you placing your hopes in today? Is it the fact you can work a 40-hour week? The fact you're saving for retirement? What is it in? We have the same Lord. And that means we must have the same hope. But we have much more than what they had. You see, as believers, we have the power that matters. See, we have eternal life, don't we? We have it much easier than the early believers. And look what they did. And we should be doing the same. You know what Satan wants to do with the believer? And he's very good at it. And that he wants to distract us from the truth and rob us of our hope. You see, he wants us to see only the visible. He wants us to hope in what we can have, what we can see. He doesn't want us to hope in what we can't see, which is the eternal home in heaven. And as a result, because of that, many do not rejoice in the greatest power of this earth, which is to see a soul saved and be born again. You know, why do we stare in wonder when a person is healed of cancer and yet ignore a young person who gives their life to Christ? Why do we do that? Now, the man will eventually die sooner or later. But guess what? The boy will live for eternity. That's the wonder. That's the hope. Remember the lame man brought before Jesus by his friends in Luke 5. They had to go through the ceiling to reach the Lord. Such was the crowd. Can you imagine that roof being broken up and the dust coming down, the stretcher being lowered down on ropes? And the face of these, Jesus responded when he saw their faith. He said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Where does that come from? See, this man, he wants to walk, yet Jesus didn't even address the physical illness. Instead, what did he do? He forgave his sins. What did the scribes and Pharisees say in verse 21 of Luke 5? "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" You see, Jesus had done much more than what the man was asking for. See, Jesus demonstrated his power to set the man free from sins, to cleanse and clean up his life. And he goes on in that chapter to show that it takes more power to forgive sin than it does to heal a physical illness. Now, from the eternal point, Jesus did a far greater miracle in forgiving sin than in meeting that person's physical need. And that's the help he gives us with hope. Because the reality is, man is never really going to die. Everyone is going to spend eternity in one of two places, either in the presence of God or in the darkness and separation from him. And our hope comes with knowing that Jesus is alive and that he is risen from the dead, and there's nothing that can change that. That's our hope. Now, our hope comes with order. Look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, one of those meanings for inheritance is ownership by virtue of a birthright. See, it's a right to inherit. So, as believers, we are born again into the family of God. We belong to him. He belongs to us, and everything that goes with God goes with us. So whatever God has is ours, and not in arrogance, but God wants us to understand that we have all his resources available to us. So why should we feel hopeless? Why should we feel that God's not there for us? We have all the hope in the world. God is our God. All he is, all he can do is available to those who put their trust and hope in him. You know, I'm so thankful that God's a God of order. Very thankful. And the hope we have, it's not a game of chance. It's not a lottery. Not at all. It's incorruptible. It's above anything or anything. And God wants us to know and be sure our hope is not based on something that can fade away or fail. Not at all. It's not marred or spoiled. It's not going to fall apart. The hope we have in Christ is above anything or any power that seeks to ruin us or take away any hope we have. God's hope, his salvation, has no errors, no alterations. Once you belong to him, the Bible says you are sealed forever until the day of your redemption. Until you are called home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to him, your hope is in that fact, and you cannot lose that position in him if you have truly been born again. And many people worried whether they're saved. Many people worried whether they're going to get to heaven. And I would just say to those sort of people, listen up. If it's only ever gone to the head, I understand why you're worried. But once it's in the heart, there's no worries. There's no doubts. There's no fears. It must go from here to here. If it stays there, you're going nowhere. You won't know that hope. See, through Jesus, we have eternal life. And when a person dies, they go to be with the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? That's where they are. If they know the Lord. Hey, listen, all their hopes have come true. They're with him. They haven't thought of us, though. They left us behind, amen? We're still here. We've still got to go through this life and work hard and carry on. And those who have died and gone to be with the Lord, they're rejoicing. You know, I can't wait for the day we meet them. Those we've loved, those we've lost from this earth, if they've known the Savior, they haven't lost anything. They've gained it all. That's the hope that they have. It's a hope that's undefiled, fadeth not away, and I love it. It's reserved for you in heaven. No one can take that place. It's yours. You belong to Him. You're sealed forever. You'll be called home to be with Him, and you belong with Him, and through Him we have eternal life. See, the hope of our salvation is in order. It can't be changed in any way. God has sealed it. End of story. Finished. It's pure, it's holy, it's everlasting, and if you're born again, it belongs to you. And no one or anything can stop you having your place in glory. It's yours, it's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered in the person of Jesus Christ, and He is a great and awesome Lord and Savior, and nothing is going to rob you of the salvation that you have. That's your hope. And that hope is personal. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Look at that. You who are kept by the power of God. See, this is a beautiful thing. See, God is not an unreachable God. God is reachable. He reached down, in fact, to humanity. He came into our world to walk this earth without sin, not to set Himself upon a pedestal, not to be amongst us, to lord it over us. He came down to be a reachable God, a personal God, a loving God, to give us the hope that we have eternal life and that He came into this world to bring it, and He showed that to us, that He is our God for now and for eternity. This is present tense. We're not talking about tomorrow or yesterday. This is today. Right now, we are being kept. We're being watched over, guarded over. Our lives are being protected. And no matter where you and I are at this moment, no matter what is happening, He is caring for us, and absolutely nothing can separate you from His love or His care. Nothing, not a thing at all. Paul said in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He tells us why. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives the list, and it's an incredible list. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. And here's the beautiful thing. I am persuaded. That's where Paul stood. Persuaded. That means he had no doubts whatsoever. He knew without a doubt that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature. There, he's added that there. You know why? Just in case we could think something up. He says, nah, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, what a day it'll be when the truth of our salvation is going to be revealed. It'll be glorious. But the point is, we can live in that hope today. That's what he wants us to understand. Because we don't have a God who's at a distance, no matter what people try and sing. We have a God who lives within us with us, and he wants us to know that we have all the hope in the world. He wants that to be revealed to us today, that our hope is living. It's alive. It's in order. It's personal. And lastly, it's eternal. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Oh, don't I have salvation yet? Do I have to wait to the end to be sure? No, that's not saying that at all. All we face, all we go through can be gone through and faced with joy and hope, because if we suffer as Christians, it brings glory to our God. See, the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul, is referring to that final day we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin itself into the presence of God forever. Isn't that amazing? Gone. No sin. No presence of sin at all. We will no longer have to live with temptation biting at our heels. We'll no longer have to live with the devil trying to put wedges into our families and marriages and trying to disturb us. No longer will we live with sin promoting itself on every screen that is in existence. There is a world to come. We live in this world now, but we don't have to have this world live in us. Is that right? Listen. The moment you let water into the boat, you're in trouble. It'll sink. You keep the water out, you can be in the water. It's the same for us as Christians. We can be like a boat in this world and keep the water out, and we'll float above it. It tries us at times. There's the odd time it may succeed, but 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know, we'd have to be foolish not to see that one day very soon there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And our salvation progresses every day, every week, every year, until the day Christ comes, and it will be salvation lived out in the presence of God for eternity. Well, man, it's going to be amazing. Revelation 21 explains it, starting in verse 1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" And down in verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." That's what's prepared for us who have placed our trust, faith, and hope in him. It is a certainty of hope. It is reserved. It may be hidden a bit right now, but brothers and sisters, very soon it will be revealed. Amen? Hope in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, Lord, just to look at that and just see what you have done to show us here the blessings of being your redeemed child, to face a world that we're in, to knowing that what we have is incorruptible, undefiled, and that it's kept, guarded by your power through faith. Father, we thank you so much. Help us, Lord, to look at life in a new light, in a new hope, and understand that we are never hopeless when we are your child, that we have an expectancy of a great glory to come, and it's all because of you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.